Do you ever see infomercials? You know, those are the commercials that take as long as a whole show. Maybe sometimes your show ends and it seems like the commercial break just keeps going, and after a minute you have to check the guide and say, wait a second, what is this? What are they trying to trick me with? You know, the TV stations use infomercials as a way of making a little bit of money when they don't have anything real to put on TV. But if you ever watch infomercials, you know that they paint a picture of a terrifying world. A world where no one can do anything by themselves. So the infomercial will say, are you a grown man and you can't tie your shoes, but you don't want to look like a fool? Get our amazing fake lace. Looks like shoelaces, works like Velcro. Are your shoes so hard to put on and you hate to lean over? The Footvac 2000 will help you. Simply connect it to the toe of any shoe and 300 horsepower will get your foot in that shoe. We guarantee it. Oh, are knives too hard to use and you end up just smacking food with the flat of the blade? No problems. We have the Slap Chop. Oh, spaghetti is too hard to make. What with pans and strainers and all those noodles. Get our special pasta pan and strainer all in one. These commercials set up situations that you think, man, these people can't do anything. Now I admit that I probably have purchased some of these products or similar things. After all, at some point there must have been an infomercial that said, is water too hard to drink? Is that cup too hard to lift? Well, introducing the brand new straw. Never pick up your cup again. Simply place, lower your head, and drink. So maybe the infomercials of today will just be the obvious products of tomorrow. And I do admit that I have in the past been able to start spaghetti on fire, even inside a pot full of water. It is a little bit disconcerting when I see smoke coming from the bottom of a pot of water. I dealt with it. It was okay. That pan is still not clean, by the way. But they might have good products, but they market them as though people can't do anything without these products. A terrifying world where you can't even wash your hands. Is a bar of soap too slippery? Slipping out of your grasp? Does pump soap jump away from you when you try to smack the top of it? Get our new laser-guided soap dispenser. Guaranteed to hit your hands no matter where they are. Is your room too dark? Is your light switch too far away? Or are your light switches just too hard to flip over? Well, you need to get the clapper. A world where no one can do anything. A terrifying world of darkness and suffering, where there is no hope for anyone. And yet, that is the message of the church. That the church's message, more true than any infomercial, is that on our own, we don't have hope. And the church has the one product that can save. The one product that can change your life truly and forever. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're in, again, the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 11. And we're talking about what it means to be an effective church. How the church can make a difference. I'm going to read in Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19. And I'm reading from the NIV. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. And I'm going to stop right there. Remember that last week we talked about Peter going and preaching now to the Gentiles as well, and the Gentiles are being brought in. So the people who had originally gone out were preaching only to Jews, and now we're beginning to see ministry to the Gentiles. We continue in verse 20. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. Here we have the story of one town that's being transformed by the effective working of the church. A town where people are coming to know God, where the church is growing, people are coming to know Him because the church is doing its work effectively. Today, we're looking at, from this passage, the three things we can do to make the church effective. And the first thing that made the church effective was that they told the good news. That's what it says in verse 20. They went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Good news really is the foundation of the church, that the church wouldn't be what it is except for the gospel message. That's why it is the center of what we do here, that during the pastoral prayer, we always pray, and with that 5-second prayer, we pray that people would come to hear that gospel message and be transformed by it, that we are motivated by the fact that we have a Lord who died and He rose again. We speak about that during communion, that Christ died for our sins. And every communion Sunday, you hear a little bit of the gospel. That story that Jesus came to earth, born as a child, that He grew up living a sinless life, that He died for us because we couldn't pay for our own sins. And in order for us to come to heaven, He died and He rose again, showing us that He could bring us new life. That good news is the core of what we believe. And it is good because it is from God. It is a blessing to us. It allows us to look forward to eternal life. And it is also news because it is something to be shared. It is something that we should put on the front page, that should be the start of our message, the good news that God loves us, that He has a way for us to know Him. That good news is the center of the church's message when we're being effective. But sometimes we lose sight of that good news, or we put it secondary to other things, that we put serving our community or feeding the hungry before the gospel. And so we say, well, we'll give them a good meal today, and if we ever get around to it, maybe we'll mention that we're from a church, or that, you know, we have this good news for them. And we lose effectiveness when we do that. We make the gospel secondary. That we don't be up front with the message that we have, the truth that we need to share as a church, that they can get nowhere else. Sometimes churches and Christians are ridiculed because they don't teach the good news. They primarily teach bad news. That they speak, instead of the death and resurrection of Jesus, they speak only of God's condemnation of sin. And so they go and they picket and they have signs that say, God hates fill in the blank. And there is a certain truth to that message, because we know that God does hate sin. And if your sign said God hates and you put a sin in that blank, that is true. God hates sin. He cannot stand to be around it. And He died to save us from it. But too often Christians put God hates, and instead of a sin, they put sinners. God hates sinners. And we know from the Bible that that is not true. God does not hate sinners. He loves sinners. He cannot stand sin, and yet He earnestly desires for us to come to Him and be transformed, that we would hear the good news and be transformed from sinners into saints. When we preach only the bad news, when we turn aside from the good news, the church loses effectiveness. But we are effective when we sell the one thing that we have a monopoly on, the one thing that they can get nowhere else, the good news of Christ. And here at Living Hope, we would love to have more people come here, that you would invite people to this church. But more important than that is that you invite them to the good news. That we would share this news here on a Sunday morning and through the ministries of this church, but that you, the church, would go out and share this news where you are as well. That family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers would hear this news through you as we participate in the spread of the gospel. For our church to be effective, we must start with that good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. The news which is the reason for Easter. The reason that we celebrate Easter is this good news. We have a Good Friday service, which is going to be on a Good Friday, in case you wondered when it was. Good Friday service, we're going to come here and we're going to talk about the death of Jesus Christ. The payment that it took for our sins to be paid. And that's a very powerful service, and it may be something that people you know would want to attend as well. But I think even more important than Good Friday is getting them to Easter. It's a message that Jesus died for our sins, but he rose again, showing that we also will have that eternal life, that there is coming a resurrection for all of us, that those who believe will be resurrected to life eternal, life in glory. And that message of Easter Sunday. And I encourage you, as we've been speaking for the last few weeks, to bring people here on Easter Sunday. Go and share the good news with them. Get them involved in the church. And Easter Sunday is a great way to celebrate with them. If you've had the chance to pray with them, or if you know that they're a Christian and they're not connected to the church, it's a great way that they can get back involved in that good news of the gospel. The effective church is based first on the good news. Secondly, with good people. Good people are at the core of the church. That's what it says here in verse 24 when Barnabas goes to see them. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. He was a good man, and the church needs good people. The church is effective when it is full of good people. Now, on one hand, that is an impossible task because we cannot truly be good on our own strength. We know, and in fact, part of the good news is that we can't save ourselves, and we needed Jesus to save us. That good news, though, makes us good people. If you know a little bit about the English language and grammar, you'll know that verse 24, those commas they throw in there, that's not just because they like having extra commas on the page. He was a good man, it says. And then the next part, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, that's defining what it meant for him as a good man. What made him a good man? And it's nothing that he did there. It's nothing that he went out and was a great preacher or teacher, that he was really good at marketing. He was a good man because he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Today's society, of course, we celebrate people for being good at things that you'd say, wow, Michael Jordan was a good player. I guess he's still alive. Maybe he's not a good player anymore. He was a good player. That, man, he was great at what he did. And yet maybe you would say, well, the basketball, sure, but the rest of his life, maybe not. What makes someone good in the Bible is not the good things they do. And even today, you might say someone is a good person for helping with the poor, feeding the hungry, or setting up an institute in their name that would care for others. But those actions don't make you a good person. The Holy Spirit and faith is what can make us good people. That we can be good people as the Holy Spirit transforms us. That the Holy Spirit working in us allows us to do good deeds, allows us to reach people with the good news of the gospel. That with faith, whatever we are going through, we can trust in God and be transformed through good times and bad to a greater knowledge of Christ and to greater Christ-likeness. We can be good people only because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transforms us as believers, and we also believe that because no one can come to God except they are called by Him, the Holy Spirit is at work transforming those who do not yet believe that they can come to Christ. That's what we pray when we do these 5-second prayers, that God would work on these people's hearts and prepare them, and that He would use us to speak to them and spread that message. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a vital component of people coming to know God and continuing to grow in Christ's likeness, and that apart from the Holy Spirit, there's not much reason for us to be here. Maybe some of you think, well, church is just a great time because we have these really comfortable chairs and you can just come and sit in a nice comfy chair, relax a little bit, maybe get out your phone and play a little game, zone out during the sermon. And isn't it nice to just have a half hour to sit back and relax? No demands placed on you? Can you just get your phone out, play? And you can't talk in church, so your kids can't bother you. People next to you can't bother you. Just play my little game, get my crossword puzzle done. Maybe sing a few songs, eat a few burritos. Of course, that stuff is great too. But if that's all a church is, I would rather that you didn't come at all. That if you just want to hang out with people and have a good time because you just like being around other people, that is not what church is about. Church is about gathering together under the power of the Holy Spirit, worshiping the one true God, worshiping the Savior who died and rose again to save us, that we would come to know Him and to know Him more, that we would sing songs of praise because we are motivated by the Spirit inside of us, that we would spend time with one another, not just because we like each other's company, but because the Holy Spirit prompts us to urge one another to love and good deeds, that together we are stronger. Through the Holy Spirit, we have something amazing here at church that you can't find anywhere else. On the other hand, if you can convince someone to just come to church and sit quietly and listen to sermons while they do their crossword puzzle, I'm all for that. I'm okay with any trick we can use to get people to hear this good news because I want them to hear that. And if they're willing to sit next to you and talk to you after church and at greeting time, and you can have that influence on their life, by all means, invite them to do the crossword puzzle here. In fact, we'll set up in the back corner a crossword puzzle section, and everyone can go there. They can help one another with the clues. They can hear the gospel. And do whatever it takes that they can hear the gospel, but know that we are prompted by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the reason that we are here. So we see that we are founded on the good news, that the church is effective as we use good people. And then finally, verse 27 and following, talking about this prediction of a famine. In verse 29, the disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. Good deeds are the final step. The good news, you're transformed into good people, and then good people ultimately are urged to good deeds. And primarily, as this verse says, caring for one another. That, as the Bible says, they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. That Christians should stand out in the world as people who love one another. That's one reason we do benevolence, because we believe that Christians can take care of other Christians. That we can love one another in a way that you might not see anywhere else in the world. If any of you have been in the hospital, have gone through surgeries, have had even just had a child, and you're recovering, you're at home, you'd like a little bit of extra help, or you just need someone to talk to, you have seen, or at least hopefully have seen, people from the church come beside you, visit you when you're ill, bring you food, care for you. And it's been time and again a way that people see Christians as different. That I'll visit people in the hospital, and the others who share a room or see us there kind of wonder, who are these people that are coming to see you? And if you have a lot of people from the church visit you, whoever shares a room with you might ask, is this all your family? And you may have to say, no, my family lives far away and they couldn't make it. But on the other hand, yes, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the people who God has put in my life, and they care for me, and I care for them. That as Christians, we love one another, and the world should see that love that we have. That the good deeds we do, first for the church, for those who are part of our fellowship, and we see this in the Old Testament through the work of Israel caring for their own, the orphans and the widows among them. And in the New Testament, the same pattern emerges, that those in the church are cared for. That if you're here at today and you know that you're going to not eat for another day or two, say something to someone. We can get you more food from the cafe. We can get you benevolence money, we can take care of you. That there are going to be times when people in the church suffer, face hardships, sickness, difficulty, even financial ruin. And yet, we will lift one another up and care for each other. There's no reason someone in the church has to go hungry, because the church can feed its own. And then reaching out from there, from the church as the first step, our good deeds are also evident to the world and show God's love for the world as a whole. In fact, churches are some of the first organizations that go in to do relief. That after disasters hit, churches in the area and churches from around the world are ready to step forward and help people who need it. And one great thing about the work that churches do in the world is we typically stick around longer than other groups. That when things are in the news, it's easy for many people around the world to contribute to something and do some work. But once the news has gone on to another story, churches there are continuing to help the people in need. Churches are continuing to support one another, do things in the name of Christ to care for one another. Churches are effective when our love is evident. Because our love is evidence of God's love. It is evidence of the Holy Spirit working through us, that we are able to transform the world effectively as we are transformed, and that is shown through the good we do. We know that good deeds can't save us, and good deeds are not required to get into heaven. But at the same time, as we're transformed by the Holy Spirit, as we become good people, that overflows into those around us. That love is shown to those who need love. Good people doing good deeds for the sake of the good news. And as this passage shows a couple times, in verse 21 and verse 24, a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The great numbers of people are only transformed because of the work that God does. That He raises up among us people who are able to preach and teach the good news, who are able to share to their neighbors and friends, who are put in specific relationships at specific times so the gospel can become evident. And I believe that that is God's mission to each of us, that as the church, as people transformed by the Holy Spirit, we are put in our daily routine, we are put in those things that come up out of the blue as ambassadors of God, ready to impact the world around us. That we are an effective church because we have what the infomercials only can dream of. Something that will truly change your life, that you have no hope of gathering on your own. Tasks that you cannot do apart from the gospel and from the Holy Spirit are easy with the power of God. That we are selling what the world most desperately needs. Just like the people who lived before the clapper, there is no light in this dark world apart from the church. That through the church, the light comes on. People see the work of God and are transformed by the Holy Spirit. And that is the church that we have been and that we will continue to be as we live as people full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence. We ask that You would use us to transform the world around us. That as we come to Easter, people would see the love that we have for one another, and that we would have chances to proclaim this good news of Your death, of Your resurrection, and the life that You bring to us. Use us to further Your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.